the fair.
Mind is all there is.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, thank you, yes, for being flexible, and when we want to make something work, it does work. So here we are, so we'll get started. I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. With that, the subject for the month is Mind is All There Is. And this is always going to be the topic, whether I change that to any other title whatsoever. The idea in life is to realize that this is a mental world, and mind is all you're ever going to get, and it's your mind and what's going on inside of your mind that counts. Not what's going on in the world, not what's going on anywhere else. It's always going to boil down to what is going on inside of you. I passed these out because I thought this was very interesting, and this is I magnify God's good in my life. And whatever I focus my thoughts on increases. This is what we have to remember. What do you want to focus on in your life? Do you want to focus on the bad things in your life or the good things in your life? Rose is not with us this evening because I think maybe Rose forgot that it was on Thursday night. But the idea of what you're talking about, Rose, is this. Rose was in a concentration camp. And if she focused on that experience, she wouldn't be the person she is today. We always find Rose cheerful, we always find Rose happy, because she concentrates on something besides that experience that she had. And that's what we all have to do. We have to give up all those old hurts and hates and slights and grudges that we carry and concentrate on what we do want in life, and then that will increase. If Rose concentrated on that, she would have never made it. I don't know if anyone knows about the Holocaust. A man wrote a book. Can't remember his name at the present moment. But the ones who made it through the concentration camp, they made it through the concentration camp because they concentrated on what was in front of them. The ones who said, oh, I lost my home. Oh, I lost all my property. Oh, I lost my this, that, and the other thing. And concentrated.
Dr. Viktor Frankl, Man's yes. Search for Meaning.
Yes, thank you. I knew it just wasn't coming to my mind. The one who concentrated on the past perished. And that's what we do in this lifetime. When we concentrate and constantly think about what went on in the past, we're not moving forward, and we're increasing that. So that's what that is. Whatever I focus my thoughts on increases. So what do you want to focus your thoughts on? You want to focus on what? Health and wealth and prosperity, loving relationships, your job. Those are the things you want to focus on, not what happened to you. We've all had bad things happen to us. So if we concentrate on the bad things that happened to us, we're just going to get more and more of the bad things. And this is not what we want. So, would you turn to this young man and say, I create my personal reality with my thoughts. You may pass that around.
I create my personal reality with my thoughts.
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 I create my personal realities with my thoughts.
I create my personal reality with my thoughts.
I create my personal reality with my thoughts. I'm sorry.
I create my personal reality with my thoughts.
I create my personal reality with my thoughts.
I create my personal reality with my thoughts.
And I create my personal reality with my thoughts. This is what this teaching is all about. We can call it metaphysics. You can want to get spiritual. You can want to meet God. You can want to meet I don't care who. If you cannot control your thinking, if you cannot control your mind and tell it what you want it to do, you're not going to accomplish what you want in this world. Not in this lifetime. It's a mental world we live in. It's your mind that is causing everything. Now, when I say your mind is causing everything, what does that mean? Did it cause this apartment? Yes, it did. Paula and John thought of something. They thought of the colors. They thought of everything. Everything starts in mind. The mind initiates everything. We say all power is in the now, and people seem to be able to grasp that, that all power is in this moment, because you can't do something yesterday or in the future. You can only do it in the now. So the power is in the now, but the power of what is in the now? The power of your consciousness. What is going on inside of you at the present moment? It's your consciousness that draws everything to you, you're saying. So you have to change your consciousness. You have to change your thinking. And you always have to change your thinking about yourself. You cannot change anybody else. You cannot change the outside world. The outside world changes when you change. But the world stays exactly the same if your thinking stays the same. What people want to do in life is they want to look in the mirror and see a different image. They want to look in the mirror and see a different image. Whatever image you put in front of that mirror is what you will see, but people want that image to change. The only way the image in the mirror will change if you change the image that you put in front of it. Your life will change when you change the image that you hold about life and about yourself. I was in Trader Joe's today, and a young man, I call most people young anymore, said to the woman, the cashier said, oh, next Friday is the 13th. He said, oh, well, I'm not going out all day. And she said, oh, really? He said, absolutely not in this town with all the crazies. Now, he's drawing that to him. That's in his mind. That's in his consciousness. You have to be able to change that. When you hear yourself saying things like it, when you hear other people saying things like it, you have to decide, do I want this to come into my life? We are drawing everything into our life. We can no longer make the excuse that somebody else caused something, that the economy caused something, that the world caused something, that the president caused something. You know, no. We are drawing that in with our consciousness. That's why I use that wonderful expression, when I don't like what somebody says, I just look at them and say, I'm glad I don't live in your universe. I make up my own universe. I make up my own reality. And that's what you have to do. You have to do that. You see? So it starts what? With us. With changing our mind. And it always starts with the idea that we are worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, let's do the matter thing. Got it in tonight, John. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So what we have been taught through life is this. Experience creates belief. That is absolutely wrong. Belief always creates experience. What you are believing, you are going to create. But we think it's the other way around. I had a client this week, a young lady. And as soon as I hear this, I know that I am completely lost, that whatever I say is not going to work, because she said, but you don't understand. But you don't understand. I don't bother to say I understand everything. It's you that doesn't understand. She can't find a man. Why? Because she thinks all men are assholes. Now, that's a belief that she's holding. She says, I just draw these people into me. Now, she knows that all these people, I always get an asshole. I said, can you change your thinking about that? How can I? It always happens to me. And I looked at her and I said, it's going to continue. It is absolutely going to continue. But she said, you don't understand. I said, what don't I understand? She said, they come to me. I always get these people. It's in her mind. It's in her consciousness. You must change your mind. You must change your consciousness. Then again, she has no money. Well, why don't you have any money? It's the economy, you see. I said, the economy has nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, yes, yes. Look at this, look at that. I said, no, it doesn't. If you want to believe that, then you are creating that. The world is very convincing. Other people are very convincing. But it boils down to mind is all there is. Now, when I say that mind is all there is, you often hear me say, we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. You have to remember that there is only one mind, and that is the mind of God. And we are using that mind. That's why we can say to ourselves that we are gods and goddesses, you see, because we're using the mind of God. The only way that God can come on to this plane of action is through us. So we must start to see ourselves as godlike. And we must start to affirm that we have those qualities. The qualities, whatever you think the qualities of God are, you must start to use those in your own life and affirm those for yourself. That you're good, that you're kind, that you're compassionate. You see? Then your life will start to change. Before I said, in this teaching, people say to me, oh, I think it's wonderful that you teach metaphysics. You're teaching positive thinking. I do not teach positive thinking, people. You think positively because of this teaching. I have nothing to do with that whatsoever. Positive thinking is a byproduct. Most of the things in your life that you want are byproducts, but you think they're the number one thing in your life. You want money, so you concentrate on money. Instead of concentrating on the feeling inside of yourself, how will I feel with money? What does a wealthy person feel like? How is the feeling, you see? You start with that, and that's a side effect. That's that whole idea of seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all else will be added unto you. All else will be added unto you. You must become what you want to be. You must become wealthy in consciousness, in thinking, you see. If you sit around and think you're poor all the time and don't do anything, you're going to remain poor. You're going to remain poor. Many people say, well, I'll fix that when I get money. I'll do this, that, and the other thing. Get up and move. Get up and do something. Show the universe. Show this thing that we call God. This is what you want. And you will start to get it. Don't concentrate constantly on that byproduct. The byproduct will come after you get the consciousness. So work on your consciousness. Work on your thinking. Know that you're always worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And that this is a friendly universe that wants to give you everything, that wants to draw things to you, but is drawn to you with your consciousness, only yours. You can come to these classes and hear me talk and hear me do all this kind of stuff. But unless you change your mind, unless you change your consciousness, unless you start to believe that everything is done unto you as you believe, not as I believe, but as you believe, and that you have the power to change your belief. You have the power to change your belief. I look at things so much differently. As we get older and older, things look so much better. And things will look better as the older that you get. But you have to start giving up the idea of not forgiving, the idea of not having compassion for everything, forgiving yourself and having compassion with yourself, so that you can then extend that outward. Life is too short, and life, you know, there is no absolute rhyme or reason or any fact that somebody can prove that life is serious. See, we think it's serious. There's nothing to back that up. We have to be so important, we think that this thing that we're going through called life is important. What is important is your consciousness, not the life you are leading. This is why so many people with lots of money and tons of money are miserable, because they have not changed their consciousness. If you change your consciousness, you can have all the money you want and be happy while you have that money. You see. But it's done with you. It starts inside of you.
Hello. Yes, I'll buzz you in.
Uncle Gary.
Turn to your right. I got it.
We'll wait till this person comes and then we're going to do a meditation so that you can figure out this thing called mind and what your mind is doing to you and how you use your mind to change your life. The only tool that you have is this mind. The only thing, you know, you're waiting. People are waiting to get more spiritual. They're waiting for God to help them. I'm here to tell you that God is helping you all the time, and God has already given you everything that you need. The gift has already been given. The gift has already been given. So when you're praying to God and so forth, every morning I wake up and I say, I can do all things through God which strengthens me. I don't ask God to do this, that, and the other thing. I know that God is working through me, and with that I have the strength to be able to do things. You see. It's God that's animating me. I'm not animating myself. So ask for strength. Ask for understanding. Ask for those things. Instead of saying, God, can I have tons of money today? God doesn't know what money is. God doesn't know what money is. But God knows what consciousness is. And if you have a prosperity consciousness, if you have a money consciousness, you will attract that to you. That is an immutable law of the universe. This is metaphysics. Metaphysics has laws, just like any other laws in the natural realm of things. And this law is the same thought will always produce the same result. Or the same belief will always produce the same result. So if you look out and you're not getting the results that you want, you have to look at yourself and you have to change your thinking. Now, most people get upset and they get angry. Oh, did I do it wrong again? No, you didn't do it wrong again. You're learning. We're all learning how to do this. So you forgive yourself and you say, oh, I'm going to go back to that idea of changing my consciousness, of changing my mind. I'm going to see if I change my mind, what's going to happen out there? You say, what's going to happen out there? The human being is capable of thinking 60,000 thoughts per day. 60,000 thoughts per day. But then the next day, you think the same 60,000 thoughts. It becomes habitual. How many people here have been thinking the same thought for the last 30 years? You've been thinking the same thought for, why don't you say, give me a new thought, give me some new ideas. Certainly if I live, move, and have my being in a mind that is infinite, then why am I thinking the same thought over and over and over? Pull your little rubber band. By the way, look at this. It's my third one. And I went, where was I today? And I snapped that and it flew across the room. I said, oh, don't bother. I have more. You have to wake yourself up. You have to wake yourself up. Our ego mind, this human mind, lulls us into unconsciousness. And it lulls us into thinking the same thought over and over and over and over again, and we think that is living. I have reached in this ripe old age that I am, and I'm tired of thinking the same thoughts over and over again. If I'm going to live another 20 years, I don't want to repeat myself, and I don't want my ideas to keep repeating themselves. I want some new thoughts to come into my life. And if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. They're not going to fall in there. You have to ask for them and you have to make a little bit of effort to think something different about yourself. You see. Now, like the young lady, not being able to attract the right man into her life. She will not change her mind because she's absolutely convinced that something on the outside of life is causing this. Nothing on the outside of life is causing anything. Things are out there, and it appears that, but that is an appearance. And you have to give up that appearance and say, ha-ha, there's something in my thinking going on here, and I'm going to change my thinking. And I'm going to change my thinking about myself. And then something wonderful will happen in your life. But it won't. And I know people, well, I grew up with my mother and father, they thought the same thoughts till the day they were on their deathbed. And they were still thinking the same thoughts. And they left this plane of action, never knowing the potential that they had. And when I use this word potential, and it's not the old potential from the 70s and that human potential movement. That human potential movement was absolutely wonderful, and it showed people that they had a lot that they could give. I'm talking about God potential. You have to start seeing yourself as more than a human being. You have to start seeing yourself as a spiritual being having a human experience. And you have to use that every day and say, I am spiritual. Therefore, I can do this and this and this. I can learn to think God thoughts after it. I can learn to think God thoughts after it, meaning after God. We always want to be able, and this is earnest tones up one side and down the other, we must learn to practice the presence of God. But not the presence of God like God's going to come down and sit here. The presence of God is in here. And you practice that presence inside of you. And you start to feel what is it like. So that you can then start to think God thoughts after it. So that you can have the compassion. You can have the understanding. I understand, Rhoda was telling me on the way over, something horrible happened today on the news and so forth. Now, that we do not deny that something horrible happened. I don't watch it, I don't listen to it. Those things happen. But they're a small percentage of things. But right away, you have to sit down and forgive the perpetrator. And you have to sit down and forgive the ones that were perpetrated upon. God makes no distinction between that. You're the ones who are making the distinction. I'm the one. We're all making these distinctions. If you see an animal on the road squashed, I immediately forgive the person who did that. And I love, bless, and release that animal. This is what God does, and you have to start acting like God. Now, that's a big one, isn't it? Because when you were a child, if you did that, they'd have locked you up. They'd think something's wrong with you. And we think, oh, isn't that pretentious for him to say that? Oh, isn't he grandiose and all that? No, this is what we're here for. We're here to learn who we are. Self-realization movement is to learn that you're a creator, you say. Self-actualization. Self-actualization of what? Self-actualization of that God potential that is inside of you. You have to unlock that. In regards, if you come to these classes and I teach and I come to the classes and I'm not putting myself outside of you people, I'm never putting myself above any of you. You start by assuming God qualities. How else are you going to know that God exists? You see, we don't like to do that because we like to think that God is someplace else. And we like to think that God is God living in heaven or wherever you think God is. Instead of saying, at this very moment I am in heaven. And I'm in heaven because of my consciousness, because of the way I'm thinking. Not because of what's going on in the world. So these disasters happen, or these tragedies and stuff happen. You have to look at them. And I always say, well, thank God I wasn't involved in it. You see. You have to say that. I wasn't involved in that. You know. Learn to stay out of harm's way. How do you stay out of harm's way? By using your consciousness. Don't attract those things to you. Don't attract anything to you. But the percentage of the bad stuff that's going on out there, you see, do you want to magnify and keep bad stuff going? Boils down to the old thing that I teach all the time. If there's a garbage heap over here and a flower bed over there, now it's your choice. Which one do you want to look at? Which one do you want to look at? Nice people, oh, well, I can smell that garbage and dig through that and look over there. Instead of, oh, here's a flower bed. That did not go away. That did not go away. I'm just not focusing on it. I'm focusing on the good. I'm focusing on the beauty. You see, I'm going to find God in the beauty, in the love of the thing. So look for the, look in the right direction. In the Bible, you've all heard the expression, and Christians love this one, turn the other cheek, which means I was taught when I was a child, if somebody slaps you on that side of the face, you turn and let them slap you on the other side of the face. That does not mean that metaphysically. Metaphysically, what that means, to turn the other cheek, is to look in the other direction. You see? Turn your cheek. Look in the other direction. Turn the other cheek. If you stand there and look at all this garbage all the time, you're not doing it. Turn the other cheek. Get a new view of life. Get a new view of yourself. Perspective. Get a new perspective on things. How many people have seen something and then as soon as that you change the perspective, the whole thing changes? The whole thing changes. But you're doing that, and you're doing that with what? Your mind. That's why mind is all there is, and mind is the only thing that you should be working with. There's nothing else to work with. You see, mind created everything in this room. But now that's material. You see. Any material object has no power whatsoever. It's already created. And once something becomes material, it has no influence on you whatsoever. It has no power whatsoever. When it was a thought, when it was atoms spinning around, not being organized, it had power. Once you made those atoms come together into form, no longer has power. Form has no power. Only the one formless has power. So, your thinking is, how are you going to form your thinking? Into what are you going to form it into? But after you form it, don't think. People look out. That's the whole idea of don't judge by appearances. You think that that has power. It has no power whatsoever. Once it comes into form, it has no power. You have the power. That's why people think money has power. Money has no power. It's a lovely thing to have, but it has no power. It has no power whatsoever. All right. Close your eyes a moment. And see yourself at a movie theater. And this is your private movie theater. And as you're sitting there in the auditorium, looking at that black blank screen in front of you, you start to think a thought. And you start to see yourself with some desire already fulfilled that you want. And if you're thinking about that, that is a negative. And now you're going to put that negative into the projector in the projector room of your theater. A And now you're going to project that onto that white screen. When you project it onto the white screen, you see something. You see something. Now you know that you're watching a movie. And you're watching a movie of your making. And you realize that it's not real. It is a movie that you are making. And that is what your life is. The movie of your making. So you are not only the producer and the director and the star. You're the film. You're the projector. And you're the screen. And that's called the screen of life. And you can project anything on the screen of life that you want to project. So what's going on inside of you right now? What's going on inside of your consciousness? What film are you making? What type of a movie are you producing? A B-grade movie? Are you producing a comedy? Are you producing a tragedy? Because you're doing it. There's nothing outside of you doing it. You can allow that ego mind to tell you that, and you can swallow that lie if you wish. But it's an out and out lie. What you see in front of you always is the projection of the film that you are making in your mind. And you are the one that decides if that film goes into the projector that is going to project on the screen of life. So take a moment and project what you want on that screen. If it's wealth or health, abundance, creative self-expression, a loving relationship, whatever it is, project it on the screen. It is your movie. Make it the best one that you can. This is all life is a projection of your consciousness, of your thinking. It has nothing to do with your past. Please give that idea up. Nothing to do with it. I don't care what happened to you at age 5. St. Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. We are no longer children. We cannot give that tired, old, lame excuse up. We cannot use the ands and buts. We cannot use that idea, oh, you don't understand. From now on, you understand everything. You are the one that is causing your life. You are the cause under your own experience. And you can change that cause by changing the movie that you are projecting on the screen of life. It's as easy and as simple as that. But you must give up all the conclusions that you've come to. Never come to a conclusion. When you come to a conclusion, you limit the infinite mind of God. God never concludes. God continues to make all things new. When you conclude something, you take that idea, all things are possible, away from you and away from this thing called God. Live your life moment by moment. Be excited, be thrilled with yourself. And don't carry the past with you. It's dead. It's gone. As Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You are a living, individualized expression of the one mind, the only mind. Use that. Forgive yourself, forgive all others. Realize that the past has no hold on you whatsoever. Remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife looked back. When you look back, you turn to salt. When you look back, your mind crystallizes. It gets stuck. And it stays there. The past has no influence on you whatsoever. Let it go. And forgive yourself, forgive all others. And from this moment on, love yourself more and more and more. And know, without shame, without guilt, take the wonderful responsibility, become an adult, become a grown-up. No longer think like a child. Say to yourself, I am the cause under my own experience. And because I know that, I am going to experience the right things by changing my mind, by realizing that I am always whole and complete and perfect. That this thing called God is with me every moment of every day. Always encouraging. Always guiding me. So that I am always moving from my good to my greater good. From my glory to my greater glory. Rest there in that thought. And come back when you are ready. So this is really how easy it is if you can remember. You are causing this whole thing. You are causing this whole thing. And it's done with your thinking. It's done with your thoughts. So what thoughts do you want to think? Don't you always want to think the highest thought? Not only about yourself, but about everybody. About everybody. So don't let the world convince you, and don't get all upset when a tragedy happens and so forth. Don't get upset about that. Immediately forgive the perpetrator. And be thankful that you weren't the perpetrator. That wasn't the role that you were playing in the movie of your life. So that you can sit down and do an image on that screen of life that you want. It's easy. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Change your life. But we keep thinking that what we're looking at is real. If you're at home and something comes on the television set that you do not want, what do? You change the channel. And you watch something that you want to watch. But you will not change your mind when something happens. You sit there and watch the damn thing. As horrible and ugly as it is, you say, I have to watch that. That's real. Boy, that's real. It's not real. Change the channel. Change the channel. I often go, click, I don't want to see that. Click, I don't want to see that. It's up to you. Don't let your mind convince you that it is real. It is not real. It's real, if you think it is. But what do you want your life to be? Keep that. What you think about, you will always bring about. What you think about with your feelings, you will magnify. You will increase it. Works constantly like that. I will tell a quick story of how it worked for me. In a very small apartment one time in Georgia. It was a studio apartment. It wasn't even a one bedroom. I fixed that up. I loved that little place. It was gorgeous when I was finished with it. And every day I got up and I said, I just love this place. I just love this place. And I loved myself right into a two-bedroom. Now, why did I start with the studio apartment? Well, for many reasons, but one of the reasons, I loved the building and it was the only thing available. And it was available simply because somebody had trashed it. They threw black paint in the bathroom and on the tub, the floors, the holes in the ceiling, everything. I said to the owner, I want it. And he said, He said, well, we'll have to fix it up. I said, how much are you going to spend fixing it up? He said, I think about $1,500. I said, give me the $1,500. I will fix it my way. And he agreed to it. I fixed it my way. Beautiful. Well, I got finished with it for $1,500. I didn't think that was too much at that time. But the more I loved the place, and they said, you'll never get a two-bedroom in this. We haven't had a vacancy in over 30 years. I was there about a year or so. And a man who had an apartment for about 40 years moved out. And it became mine. And then I said to him, how much are you going to give me to fix this one up? And they gave me the money again, and I fixed that up the way I wanted it. But it starts with the idea. I did not say, here I am, stuck in this small little... And I'm telling you, the apartment was the size of this room. Just right there. It's just, and big doors, right, just like that, big French doors, with a little balcony out over the park. It was just this big. That's all it was. But I had people would come there. My dad had dinner parties. People, they never knew that it was a studio apartment. They always thought I had a closet and a bathroom. They thought that closet was the rest of the house, that was the hallway to the bedrooms and so forth. Never knew. But the point I am making here, sit and love where you are. Love everything about it. And it will increase for you. It will grow for you. Every morning I do that in my chair to this day. I give thanks for everything that's in my place. And everything keeps multiplying in my house. The other day, a man knocked at the door. My next upstairs neighbor, Nancy, I made her transition a year ago. This is her nephew. He knocked on the door and he gave me a mud figure. You know, I collect mud figures. Little Chinese figures that are all painted. They're called mud men. He gave that to me. You know. The size of that would probably be $300. If you sit in Thanksgiving, if you sit in appreciation, the whole world will come and lay itself at your feet. But it has to start with gratitude, with appreciation, with love for where you are now, knowing that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.